Grace Hour, the live international talk radio ministry of Greater Grace Church in Baltimore, Maryland. You can join us on the air today by calling 1-800-338-7060 or 410-483-3700 from outside of the United States. Now, here is our host.
And welcome, friends, to this edition of the Grace Hour. We're broadcasting live from our studios, which are found right here at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach in rainy, rain-soaked Baltimore, Maryland. But we're grateful, friends. Could be snow, and we'd be digging our way out of it for days to come. We're just grateful to be with you today on this Friday edition of the Grace Hour, friends, and thank you for joining us. We know you all have busy schedules, and we very much appreciate the fact that you take time out of those busy schedules to join us for our daily broadcast. And we're excited about today's broadcast as we continue to develop this wonderful theme of grace and the call of God upon our lives. We want to remind you that following today's live devotional message, we'll open the phone lines. That will be your opportunity to join us live on the air with your comments, questions. Perhaps you have a testimony that would encourage listeners around the globe, a counseling need that we could assist you with, or a prayer request that you'd like others to join you with. Well, whatever the nature of your call, join us, pick up that phone, dial one of these numbers, and you can participate and be involved in this interactive radio broadcast. Here's the toll-free number in all of North America. It's 800-338-7060. Again, that's a toll-free number, friends. We'll pay for that call. We just enjoy the privilege of having you participate in the broadcast. 800-338-7060. Locally in Baltimore, 410-483-3700. And, of course, if you're joining us outside of North America, you too would dial 410-483-3700. You can always reach us with your emails as well. If you'd like to send us an email, you can do so and direct those emails to questions@gracehour.org. And welcome to those of you that are listening locally right here in Baltimore on WRBS 1230 on your AM dial. Thanks for being with us, friends, and you'll be with us live at the first half hour. And if you'd like, and if you're able to, transition over to the internet and join us for the full hour-long broadcast at gracehour.org. That's where folks are tuning in and listening around the globe. And, of course, Facebook Live and YouTube Live. And the number of those of you that are using those different platforms is growing on a regular basis. So we want to encourage you, if you enjoy the Grace Hour, well, be sure to like us and share the fact that you listen to the broadcast with others that you think would enjoy it as well. Glad to be with you on this Friday afternoon. Great subject, a great theme. And Julie has written to us already and said yesterday, well, that was a brilliant message. Well, couldn't agree more with you, Julie. It was entitled, Seize the Opportunity of Grace. Julie said, I listened, and then I sent it out to several people. Well, good on you, Julie, because that was a great message indeed. And we expect and anticipate another great message, and without any undue pressure placed upon you, Pastor Wright, welcome to the Grace Hour.
Thank you, Pastor Love, and yes, that the brilliant message, you know, and this is exactly what we're going to kind of touch on today. Grace for the call. And how does, you know, the practical side of that or the reality, because, you know, as well as I do, Pastor Love, that a lot of individuals, you know, that's a question that they have, you know, like, what is my call? And, you know, how do I understand my call? What, you know, and they often go to thinking of that which is something for them to do. What, you know, what do you want me to do? And I will go do it. Well, thank God it is not that principally. That is the effect of the true call, the real call, which is the cause of those things that we do, whether it's soul winning, ministering from the pulpit, or even being a great dad and a great husband, a great mother, a great wife. It all roots from this principle, primary call. That is really, it's on all of our lives. There's no one of us that is exempt or disqualified from this one, you know. And so we want to see it very clearly from the scriptures. And it's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. And it simply says, God is faithful. God is faithful. Now, you know, we could park right there and just sense the presence, the reality of a faithful God, that not only will he never leave us or forsake us, but that as we're going to see, he desires to have this fellowship with us, with you. And I think of it in Psalm 8, you know, the question, there's a universal paradoxical question that says, you know, God, who are we that you, God, you are mindful of us, that God has you and has me in his thoughts. Incredible. Well, it goes on to say that God is faithful by whom you were called. Called. You were called. You didn't have to find it. You were summoned beautifully by a faithful God unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I love what the New Living Translation has, an alternate translation for this verse. It says, God will do this. Yes, he will. Yes, he has. God will do this, for he is faithful to do what he says. And he has invited you into partnership with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You know, the impulse to want to do is very strong in our human nature. There's that which does not want to sit still, does not want to seemingly be inactive. You know, when David sat before the Lord, it was a quiet place. It was not busy. You know, we have the cell phone, we have the TV, we have the appliances, we have the domestic scene. But King David, think of this, and the governmental responsibilities and the appointments that a king could have. But you know what? He found that place where he was simply in the presence of God. And that place, ladies and gentlemen, is for us as well. I know what it means to be busy. We know what it means to have 48 hours and 24 hours. We know how it can be very strenuous in the details of life. But then there is, as we're going to see, this precious, precious call. And God is faithful. He is faithful to do this, as it says. And he is faithful to do what he says. And so now he has what? He has invited us. And I like that, because the call really is an invitation. It is not a declaration. Go do. No, it is an invitation. It's like what Isaiah heard when he had gotten, you know, the whole issue of his being undone in Isaiah chapter 6, and how that when he had the tongs of the angel taking the coals of fire, touching his lips, purging, cleansing him. And there's something very interesting, I think, because our lips can speak the wrong things. Our lips can speak doubt. Our lips can speak fear. Our lips can speak insecurity and unworthiness. And these are the things that often keep us from hearing. But when that is purged, okay, as it was with Isaiah, then it says he heard. Something about the purging of the lips causing the opening of the ears. And I love this, because that is a picture that it happened. Isaiah realized that he was in the midst of an unclean people, and he was unclean in his lips as well. But grace came and purged and took all that. Then he heard this statement, who will go for us? And that's the invitation, ladies and gentlemen. It's the invitation that comes from the presence of the Lord. And we have been called to that. We have been invited into that partnership, as it says. And how is this going to happen in our lives? I mean, who is sufficient? Paul even said this. Who is sufficient for these things? These things are beyond our human ability. And thank God that they are, because if it was based upon the arm of the flesh, well, how reliable is that? The very reliability of the flesh will fail you in just a few moments. So we trust not in any of that. But what can we trust in? Well, Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 27, and this was something that we heard recently in the Foundations class here at Maryland Bible College and Seminary. 10:27 of Isaiah says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off your shoulder, and his yoke from off your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing." Because of the anointing. Because of the anointing. You see, we're called to fellowship in Christ's anointing. We're called to fellowship in his righteousness, the gift of his righteousness in Romans 5 and verse 17. This is an incredible invitation for whosoever will. And see, I don't want my lips to speak doubt. I don't want my lips to speak false humility, which says, you know, I am such a bad person, or false reliance, where I think I can do this all by myself. You know, well, congratulations. Both, you know, are to be silenced and purged from the lips, so that what? So that we can hear what the Lord is saying to the church. That's who we are. We are to be spoken to. We are to listen. We are to receive. I love Proverbs 22, where it says, "Bow down thine ears and hear the words of the wise." And it says that when you receive those words, it will be pleasant to you. Have you ever come to a church service and you're kind of beat up a little bit or a little bit discouraged, but you came by faith. You came by faith. You just decided, you know what, I'm not going to sit in my lamentation. I'm going to get around the body, get around the anointing of the pulpit, the anointing of the Word of God. And what happens? Well, you hear things. And you're cleansed by the washing of the water of the Word. You begin to see, you know, like what Paul prayed for the church of Ephesus. And he prayed for this church. And by the way, the church of Ephesus was a wonderful, wonderful church, a church any pastor would have the privilege of pastoring. But Paul would pray every day for this precious group of believers in Ephesus, that the eyes of their understanding would be open, so that they would see the hope, the confidence, the assurance of their calling, that they would see what we read in 1 Corinthians 1:9, that God will do this. Yes, he will. And he is faithful to do what he has said. Yes, he is. And he has invited us. He has invited us. Well, it's amazing to think of this anointing, because has everything to do with why we, over the decades, have come to services, how we've come to Bible studies, how we've come to events, fellowship. You know, any reason whatsoever is a great reason to get around the body of Christ, okay? And when we do, what we do is we experience the presence of God. We come. I think of it, I come to a service, and yeah, I might be a little disheveled in my mind and whatnot, but you know what happens? Yeah, the anointing breaks the yoke of self-life. The anointing breaks the yoke of human dependency. The anointing breaks the yoke of disillusionment, whatever it might be that I could experience, and I could experience an ocean of issues, however. I can now come and have that yoke, whatever it might be, destroyed because of the anointing, the presence of God. And you know, it's interesting that that portion in Isaiah 10:27. It says, because of the fatness, the anointing, think of the fat that is around an animal and how that can be, you know, melted down with fire, with heat, and it becomes an oil, a beautiful, precious oil. And this is the interesting thing about the anointing of God, because when a pulpit is on fire, when a pulpit is heated up, when there's a constant flow, then there's a constant anointing that comes. I remember how expecting I was when I was living in Boston, Massachusetts, and the church and the ministry was up in South Berwick, Maine. It was an hour and 45 minute drive. And on a Thursday, when church service used to be on Thursday nights, and I'd hop in my car and drive, take that drive, and I would unfortunately miss the worship and the singing with the body, but I would have one of the ushers would save me a seat. And as soon as I got in the building, he took me right there. I plopped down in my seat after that long drive, and I would hear Pastor Stephen say, "Open your Bibles." And I said, like, yes, yes, in God's presence, with God's people, thinking with the Lord. And I mean, it just, the tiredness, the weariness, the fullness of the day all just melted away under the amazing anointing. And we've come to not only appreciate this, but we've come to live for this, because we understand that, you know, what Jesus Christ said in John chapter 15 and verse 5, he kind of like, you know, is kind of like a wake-up call in the latter part of that verse. He says, "For without me, you can do nothing." Okay, but with him, all things are possible. So we hunger, and I think of it like this. The anointing that breaks the yoke is present from God. And then he summons us, he calls us, he invites us to fellowship with that anointing. Now, you know, I know when we hear the word fellowship, we often think of something that maybe takes place after the service or around food. And that's good. And that's, you know, talking and exchanging. But when it comes to fellowshipping with the Lord Jesus Christ, I like what it says in that alternate translation. He has invited you into partnership. We are co-laborers with Christ. And you know what? He's holding up the heavy end. I'm just kind of along for the ride. And it's a glorious ride, because as long as I abide in him and he abides in me, okay, then it says this, ask what you will. Ask what you will. But you know what happens when I get around God's people and I get around, I stop asking what I want and I begin to enter into what God wants and what he's going to want to do. And he has invited you and he has invited me into that precious place of where we are co-laboring with him. It's a partnership, and it's precious and it's amazing. Psalm 16 and verse 11, it says, "You will show me the path of life." Wow. God, you will show me how to walk in life in a dark world. You will show me how to walk in life when there's pain in my family. You will show me how to walk in life when there's loss of health or loss of wealth or whatever the loss may be. And that burden, whatever it may be, gets taken off the shoulder. It's taken off the neck. And I begin to experience what Jesus Christ had said, that, you know, come unto me, that parenthetical invitation. Come unto me, all ye that are what? Burdened, heavy laden, and what? I will give you rest. I will. And you know what that rest is? It's the rest that comes from the presence of the Lord. Like Acts 3:19 says so beautifully. So he says, change the way that you repent. Repent is used there in the King James, but so change the way you think and act and turn to God and have your sins removed. And then it says this, and the times of refreshing that come from the presence of the Lord. There it is, friends. We've been invited, called, summoned, given access to his presence, the anointing that breaks the yoke. We have fellowship one with another. The issues of the flesh are purged away by the coal of fire and the anointing. And all of this happens, and this is all that God provides. You know, we're not working up a thing. We're not doing anything to cause this to happen. But this is the very precious call. So what is my call doesn't mean what should I do for Jesus Christ. You know, whether it's whatever aspect of ministry or service, and those things are precious. But those things are an effect of this call. That first and foremost, let's just be in his presence. Let's just be where he is. Let's just go where he goes and follow this anointing we have. We've had over 5 decades on this broadcast. Many of you, God bless you, 5 decades on this broadcast when it was called Telephone Time. And here we are in the 21st century. Here we are in, February of 2022, and we're still walking in this anointing, and God has proved himself faithful. Faithful is he who's called you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And amen indeed. Great thoughts to get us started on this Friday afternoon. Such great definition for the call of God. Not always what we should do, but called into his fellowship, called into his presence, called to abide with Christ. And that always produces the right results. You're listening live to the Grace Hour, friends, and we'll open the phone lines now at this moment. We'll begin to take your calls. So if you're able to join us live in the broadcast, that would be our blessing and our privilege. And that would be a blessing also for our listeners around the globe. So please take this opportunity. Here are the telephone numbers, 800-338-7060. That, of course, is a toll-free number, and you can dial that toll-free number anywhere in all of North America, Canada, together with the continental United States. And the reason why we say the continental United States, because Hawaii, you'd have to use the 410-483-3700 number. So we just, for those of you that are calling us from Hawaii and you can't get through on the 800 number, that's why.
It probably is, 6 o'clock in the morning, or I don't know.
Well, I can tell you exactly what time it is. It's,
oh, okay.
The reason why, because my daughter is there right now.
Is that right?
Yes. So it's probably about 8:23. I think that's about right. Yeah. Okay. 5 hours difference.
Yeah. Cup of coffee time.
Yeah. Well, they're up and about, so. If she's listening,
there you go.
Call your father. give us a call in the Grace Hour.
Okay.
800-338-7060, toll free. And right here in the Baltimore area, 410-483-3700. Boy, listening to his voice and practicing his presence. And, you know, Pastor Red, I was thinking about it the other day. So often, so much preaching is designed, you know, to tell us how we're supposed to be living our Christian lives. but preaching, the whole purpose of preaching is that Christ would be seen.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's enough. He's our answer. He's what we need. So often, preaching can come down to, this is the way you ought to live. This is what you're supposed to. This is under these certain, come on. Mm. You know, it can almost be reduced to human behavior. This is how you're supposed to behave. That's not Christianity, and that's not what we've been called to.
That is not biblical. You're right, Christianity. And if we were to think about it, Pastor Love, the incredible, you know, what people are hearing today, like you said, are human, natural, stipulations, you know, do right, you know, do the right thing. Okay. I got that. I want to do the right thing. But again, what's the cause of doing the right thing? Is it my own self-righteousness? Is it my own, idea that I'm better, and you know, we in the flesh, we will always emphasize our strengths and minimize our weaknesses. Okay, that's why social media is like a tough, you know, road to hoe, because principally, you know, 9/10 of the pictures and the, you know, are all the perfect pictures and all the perfect places, and you say, like, look, these people have an amazing life, you know. But you look behind it, you can see, like, there's a pile of dishes in the sink. You know. Yes. But but the message I think that we have heard, because it's very interesting that you brought that principle up, you know, that we can get into the presence of God. Now, one of the words defining his presence is the word panim in the Hebrew. It means face. It means face, a face to face, meaning nothing in between. Okay. When you're talking to someone face to face, it's kind of like a personal private conversation. You know, there could be a whole lot of other things going on. You know, you could be on a train or a subway, you know, but you've zeroed in and you've zeroed in and zoned out. I like that. Zeroed in to what's being said, and you've just kind of zoned out on whatever else is around there. Well, that's the beauty of what this, you know, the anointing that breaks the yoke is that God has invited to this us into this face-to-face kind of fellowship with him. And it doesn't mean a literal face, but when I look into the scriptures, who's staring back at me? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ.
Mm. That's what it's all about. When you have that kind of fellowship, yeah, it does. It produces life, and it breaks the yoke. And it's the anointing, which is the presence of God.
Mm. Wow.
That breaks the yoke.
Mm-hmm.
Well, friends, you're listening live to the Grace Hour, and we hope you'll stay with us if that's possible. Those of you that have to sign off because you're listening locally on WRBS right here in Baltimore, we understand that our program ends at the end of this first half hour, but if you can find your way over to gracehour.org and join us live on the internet, you can stay with us and even give us a call, as we will dedicate the second half of this broadcast to taking your phone calls. We hope to hear from you. What are your thoughts about the call of God and this fellowship that we've been called into? It's the work of the Spirit. It's something that's prepared for us. The table is set to sit down and enjoy. We'll be right back, friends. Stay right where you are. We're back with you live on the internet at gracehour.org. We're still with the folks that are watching on Facebook Live and YouTube Live, and Vicky has weighed in and says, back in the 70s, one of the main things which drew me to the ministry was that Christ was so magnified. Yeah, and again, I think a lot of us listening, Vicky, who joined you back in that decade,
yes,
could say, yes, yes indeed, amen. That's what we're was drawing all of us. We saw a great, big, wonderful, gracious, wow, forgiving Christ.
And, you know, this is the thing that has been brought forward. I think that very often when we think of, you know, the Word of God, is it says it's forever settled in heaven. We have heard things over the decades, Pastor Love, and because, you know, we heard them early. So a lot of times, you know, we're not so surprised as we, you know, see what's happening in the world, or, you know, what's on the horizon as far as human events are concerned, because we heard of these things 30 or 40 years prior to. Why did we hear them then? Why? Because those are the things that do not change. I am the Lord your God, and I change not. And so, like you were saying, if Christ is being exalted in the pulpit or in the ministry, and this is what has enabled regular people, just regular people, go out and go to different parts of the world and establish ministries. Why do we have ministries in Asia? Why do we have ministries in Africa? Why do we have ministries in South America? Because regular people were invited into this great work of Christ. It's his work, and we are fellowshipping and partaking of it as partners. And it brought us to places where you and I would never be able to get ourselves. You know, look at you, radio host, you know, Bible teacher, you know, youth pastor. I mean, you know, the list kind of goes on. It's kind of spooky that it's all that all wrapped up in one. But it's real. It's life. And it's amazing. It's amazing.
It is amazing. We have been changed by God himself. Our lives, wow. Think about the direction that they once took. Mm. You could almost say we were heading down a road to Armageddon. But now, by God's grace, we're on a road to glory. Mm. And God did that.
Yes,
God
he did. That.
Yeah. And like Vicki said, Christ was magnified. I mean, that's when I first started listening to this broadcast, and you mentioned it earlier, that when it was telephone time, that's what I heard. I heard about this glorious Christ, this Christ who did for me what I could never do for myself, who made me righteous, which is something that was impossible for me to ever achieve or experience in life through my own efforts and by my own works. He did all that, and I was literally drawn to it, and then eventually drawn into the fellowship of this particular ministry. Again, we heard the other night from Pastor Shallow, the ministry is just an address.
That's right.
He brought us to Christ, and Christ is what sustains us. Christ and his grace is what keeps meeting our needs. And that grace, you know, that grace, we marveled at it. It amazed us when it first appeared, and it still amazes us today.
You know, I was thinking as you were saying that, it's not something that can be mentioned from time to time or touched on and, you know, across the spectrum of communication. It is the very, as Oswald Chambers would say, the warp and woof of a healthy biblical ministry, because you'll find grace in the Old Testament, in the Psalms, and the prophets, and in the New Testament. Because why? It is God's policy towards the human race. Fallen that we are, he already decided from eternity past by having the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. So he settled that before we even got settled in that. But the great invitation, as you said, you know, we get settled into that which he has accomplished. Otherwise, I'm back to where, you know, I got, you know, behavior modification, you know, according to a religious or moral standard. And some of us can do pretty good on that. Some of us can do pretty lousy on that. But thank God that none of that is the qualifier or the disqualifier of grace that comes from God and his presence.
Mm. And we can find ourselves so often slipping into the Galatian, you know, process, what happened in many of those churches in the Galatian province, where they started out listening to the Spirit. They started out trusting and relying upon God. But at some point along the way, they thought to themselves, maybe I will start it out because of what God did and the work that he finished. But at some point, it's almost like God hands me the ball and now basically says, here's the ball, don't fumble, which we are prone to do so much. But Paul wrote to them, he says, you foolish, foolish Galatians, who has cast a spell over you that you should not obey the truth? And then he went on to say, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, you are now going to be made perfect or mature by means of the flesh? Sometimes this is the way we operate. We can revert back to that. It's almost as if Christ says, look, you there was a point in your life where you realized you could not be made righteous by law keeping. But then once I saved you, you said, thank you. You brought me up out of that pit. I'll take it from here, and then we revert back to good bookkeeping all over again.
That's so
good. Somebody once said that if we could be saved by good bookkeeping, Moses would have saved us, not Christ. But we couldn't.
Yeah.
Well, but we're prone to go back to that mentality.
Well, you know, we're making no bones about the reality, because only the Bible would tell me truth about my old nature, you know. So Psalm 119, verse 25, you know, it says, quicken thou me according to, why? Because my soul cleaves to the dust, okay? I'm a victim of Adamic gravity, you know, where, yeah, I have this predilection, this leaning to go to the natural. And even if it's good in human estimation, you know, that it's got some good merit to it, it is not of the source of faith. It's not of the source of truth. It's not the source of fellowship with God. So we tend to lean upon that. And so it's the warning comes quite clearly, you know, trust in the Lord with what? All of your heart. And don't lean to your own understanding, Proverbs 3:5. But in all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And you know where, Pastor, where we need to acknowledge him most readily is when we fall.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and just acknowledge that, then he's the one that can direct me out, like you said, out of the pit and out of the miry clay. But then it goes on to the B part. It says, you know, and he establishes me and he directs my goings. Now, yes, Lord, I can go in your presence and your anointing. And that's how we're learning. We're learning to live that way.
Amen.
By faith. Yeah.
And I love that Psalm 119, verse 25, that verse, you know, where we say, my soul cleaves. Don't ever be ashamed to say that.
Right.
So many Christians are. They feel like, well, that's an inaccurate confession. No, that's reality. But also, at the same time, acknowledge, you can quicken me, God, according to your word.
Wow, there it is.
But when believers are ashamed to say, it's almost as if they're ashamed to say, I still have an old sin nature. There's no need to be ashamed about that. That is our reality.
Mm-hmm.
And to acknowledge that, it's really our way of saying, God, not only did I need you to save me, I need you to deliver me on a consistent basis from that soul of mine that has that natural propensity to cleave to the dust.
Wow. Wow. You know, think of that. That's perfect. The word salvation, okay, we tend to attach a point in time. When you got born again, you were saved. Yes, okay. But that word really carries the connotation of being rescued. And how often do I need to be well, maybe 25 times today, okay? But the backdrop of the grace of God is that which Romans 8:1, there's now, therefore, no grounds for condemnation, okay, but perfect grounds for rehabilitation, if we could say, or the correction. Despise not the correction of the chastening of the Lord. Why? Because we're family. You know, and you know, my father is the one who can speak to me when I'm supposed to take out the trash, but I'm out having fun with my friends, you know, and he can come and get me, and because I'm his son. I'm his son. And so that defines the relationship right there.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
We can talk about, and we do, and it's fine to do it. We talk about all of the different enemies that we face, the world, the flesh, the devil. But really, most of the time we're crying out and saying, God, save me from me.
Mm.
Save me from myself.
Wow.
Let's go to the phones.
Yes.
Pastor Roger Robbins from Istanbul, Turkey is joining us live on the Grace Hour. Pastor, great to have you with us. Welcome.
Hey, Pastor Love and Pastor Wright, good to hear your voices. If your soul clings to the dust, listen to Grace Hour.
That's good.
Amen. Amen.
It's really refreshing. It brought me back when you mentioned telephone time, that was my first connection to the ministry and the first connection really to what I, you know, what an anointing was and is when I heard that voice on the radio and how it spoke with something that was reaching deep into my heart and how it, like, from that point on, it's just interesting that I remember I went to this church in Ayer, Massachusetts, and I met Pastor John Love on the softball team. And that was my first time meeting you. And then I remember you coming to Pepperell, Mass, and you were helping out with the church there. I even remember the message you spoke. You spoke from the cross to the cradle. It was an amazing message. And but I was just thinking about our faith, how much it means to God that we meet face to face. There's something about the presence of God when you think about Jesus's face, because you can look at somebody's hand and you can't know much about them. But when you see their face, you learn a lot. You see peace, you can see anger, you can see bitterness, you can see joy. And I always wondered, what did Jesus look like when the woman that was brought condemned in the act of adultery by the Pharisees, when he saw her, what did his face look like? Or what did his face look like when they were weeping for Lazarus? Or what did his face look like when Peter denied him and Jesus turned and looked at him? And no doubt Jesus turned and looked at him not with a face that said, I told you so, but a face that says, I love you and I'm going to the cross for you.
Wow. That is beautiful. And then we're told, all of us, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into that same image. That's a beautiful way to describe it, Pastor. And I can't believe you can remember all those details of so many years ago on the softball field and being in those meetings together. And that was when we first connected together. And here you are today in Istanbul, Turkey, serving God. What a miracle of grace.
Yeah, if you had told me that on the softball field that one day I'd be in Turkey, I would definitely had not listened much to you from that point
on. Yeah, you would have said, no thanks, not listening to the false prophet anymore. How true that
but
is.
But you know, we're just so thankful. I just have to tell you, there's times we starve for fellowship, and Grace Hour is a connection, and it feeds us. And, you know, when you don't have a team, but you have just your wife and yourself and some people, you just love that element of maturity and history that goes back to this amazing time when we were under that covering with Pastor Stevens, and now under a beautiful covering still because of the anointing.
Yes. Yes, Pastor. And you know, it's true. This is the verification, authentication that this ministry, as well as many other precious ministries around the world, is of God, because it means that it's endured testing, it's endured time, it's endured slander, it's endured maligning, it's endured us. And, you know, the incredible thing is that here we are, as you're saying, here you are in Turkey. I love the fact, yes, so somebody would walk up to you or walk up to me, you know what you're going to be doing in 25 years? And it wouldn't, even if they told us, we wouldn't believe it. But God brought to pass what we ourselves would not believe, you know, so here we go.
Amazing. Yeah. Pastor Robbins, thanks so much for calling.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Yes. Wow.
Incredible. Yeah, that's his contact with the ministry was way back then. And I remember sitting on the front steps of my home on 92 Pine Street in Woburn, Massachusetts, and listening to Telephone Time with Pastor Stevens, and thought to myself, can what this man is saying be true?
Mm.
And I thought to myself, if it is true, I better keep listening.
Wow.
Because it's revolutionary.
You know, that's true. Because in of ourselves, you know, we couldn't, you know, apart from him, we can do absolutely nothing. We kind of could get impressed with what we thought we did, but it's wood, hay, and stubble, and, you know, might ignite into flames before we even get before the Bema seat. But I love Psalm 17 and verse 2. It says, let my sentence come forth from your presence. You know, what God has to say about it. I want to hear what the Lord thinks about me. I don't want to think about what my own thoughts are about me. You know, like you were saying, the self-help books that fill the bookshelves, you know, the motivational speakers, the rah-rah, sis-boom-bah, all of that, you know, is just, it's out there. But when it comes to what we have come to know and grow in, it is the person of Jesus Christ. And like you said, he is the answer. And we maybe didn't believe it as we believe it now, but we've come to find out that all those other things that we thought we believed and trusted in are gone. You know, they just failed or showed themselves for their true colors, but he has remained faithful. So his sentence, let my sentence come forth from this presence. Let my eyes behold the things that are equal or that are permanent. They're permanent in the plan and purpose of God. So we have something here, sir.
Praise God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Our good friend Dietmar Scherf, I believe still out in the Las Vegas, Nevada areas, reached out to us and sent us greetings and how grateful he is to be able to tune in and listen. Thank you, Dietmar. Great to hear from you. Laird Bean writes, says, Laird. I think of Romans chapter 3, where we're told that there are none righteous. No, not even one. We can only rely upon the Holy Spirit in us and his faithfulness that never, ever departs. And Colleen has written to us and said, I love the Grace Hour. Thank you, Colleen. Appreciate that. Let's go to the phones once again. Lise is joining us right here from Baltimore. She's been visiting from Canada and is still with us, joining us live on the Grace Hour. Hello, Lise.
Hello, Pastor Love, Pastor Wright.
Lise.
Yes, I want to thank you very much, Pastor Wright. I mean, I'm not afraid to say that my soul clings to the dust, and that's why I so much love to be reminded of all those beautiful truths. Like I was thinking when you said the will of God is first, it's not a to-do, it's a fellowship with him, a presence with God, you know, like that. That is always good. Oh, I love to hear that. And I want to add also that, I have to give a testimony this weekend and before women, so I thought you guys will not know about this, and it will honor you. Like it's just that my testimony has to do with all the investment that this ministry has made in my life and my church in Montreal. I mean, telephone time, yes, I remember very well, like statements, you know, Pastor Stephen's statements that are still in my mind very clear, and I lived according to those things, those statements until today, and I'm very, very grateful for all the pastors that give out their lives and teach without stopping, they teach to us the word. I mean, how could we live grace without being fed? I mean, it would be legalistic, I think. I mean, I would try to do it, but without the content of the word, so we can legalize grace, can't we? And so, well, that's it. I want to thank you very much for all the years investment of this ministry and you guys, Pastor, here present in Grace Hour. Grace Hour has been a very big... and I remember, I had remember something about Pastor Stevens. Oh, yeah, it's because we were very, very soon when I got saved, we were listening to classes from Baltimore from Pastor Stevens. I didn't understand half of it, but my ear really got I don't know how you would say that, but attached to his voice. Mm-hmm. And Pastor Love and Pastor Wright, you were talking about the ears, circumcised ears. And I think that's what happened. Now I just loved that to hear, you know, his voice. And then it just moved to you guys' voice, I would say, Love, the team. And yeah, so that's my testimony. I mean, I wouldn't be here. Thank you very much.
Amen. Wow. Well said, Lise.
Thank you.
Appreciate that so much.
Okay.
You know, as she was saying that, she heard those words, she heard those statements that came from the message. And we, you know, there was a one of those great messages, classic hallmark messages that Pastor Stevens preached throughout the years. One of them was called Throne Words.
How are you?
And again, Throne Words was the essence of that message, was the words that came from God's throne. Mm. And that's what we heard. I mean, I'm not suggesting that every message we heard was the throne words message. That was a one message in particular. But we constantly heard these words that were coming from the throne, giving us an identity, giving us a sense of personal destiny, giving us everything we needed to live lives of faith and godliness. And it's just incredible.
Mm-hmm. It is incredible because we, as much as we desire to want to do what we were hearing, it was the fact that we could live in his presence and the miracle was that we would find ourselves doing these things.
Yeah. You
know? I'll never forget, I was coming out of the library, this is in Lenox, right? I was coming out of the library and I just had this like great academic exercise, you know, studying, okay? And the yellow bus pulled up and the door flew open and Pastor R said, "Hey, what are you doing?" I said, "Well, I just finished some homework." He said, "Hey, come with us." I said, "Where are you going?" He said, "On a blitz." "On a what?" "On a blitz." And the only thing I could think of was my, you know, Second World War, you know, like this carpet bombing of
Blitzkrieg.
And I got on the bus. And I was only there, you know, because I had just arrived at campus, so I didn't know what a blitz was. These people were going out. It changed your life. You found yourself in a place with God's people, experiencing the anointing that comes with soul winning now, and transformation. Never went back from that. Mm. Never did.
Yeah. Well, the essence of what we heard was, the difference was, it's not a great big to-do. It was a great big done.
Yes.
It was done. Mm-hmm. And here we were, you know, thinking that the unfolding of our Christianity was the essence of everything we would do, only to keep hearing, "It is done. It is done. It's finished." So take that gospel and just declare that to the world.
Yes.
You know, in other words, we were never commissioned by God to go out and tell people what to do. We were commissioned by God to go out and tell people what he did that was already accomplished, the finished work. And we've been enjoying that ever since. And it sounds like that's what you were invited to on that bus that day, to go out and to declare this finished work.
And, you know, if somebody were to say, "Well, we are going out to, you know, lead people to Jesus Christ or to minister to them or to, you know, whatever label you want to put on that," I would immediately say, "Well, I've never done that before. You know, I don't know what to do." I mean, but the invitation was for fellowship with the body.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then you find yourself. And back in those days, Pastor Love, we did some insane things. I mean, just correct me. I mean, how many children at the peak of our bus ministry did we have show up on a Sunday morning?
Hundreds and hundreds. I mean, we had 42 buses.
42 buses
that ran all weekend long.
Yeah, but it was in the thousands? Wasn't
yes.
it?
Yeah.
And it was in, you know, Western Massachusetts.
And into,
you
know, upstate New York.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't a big city out that way, you know.
No, gosh, no. Not, well, we're in a major, you know, city now in the Baltimore area, mm-hmm. but it was nothing like that.
Yeah.
I mean, you had to go look for these people.
Woods and snow.
Yes, in many cases. But it was, it was fantastic.
Yes.
It was so much fun. It still is.
Still is.
Still is.
That's right.
Amen. Well, let's go back to the phones. Colleen is joining us live in the Grace Hour. Colleen, welcome.
Hi, Pastor Love. Sorry my voice is a little funny, but I was so excited to hear about, you know, talking about the blitzes. That was like the most exciting time in our lives. We used to go out every Friday and Saturday with the bus, sometimes two buses, into cities like Hartford, Connecticut, and we went to New York City a few times, and this is my testimony I will never forget as long as I live. David Frankenhauser, he was my partner, soul winning in New York City right on Fifth Avenue, and he was sharing the gospel, and the girl goes, "Oh, it's kind of like a crutch, you know, turning to Jesus," and he said, "No, it's like a chariot," and she was speechless, and I mean, it just, there was so many divine appointments, and I know that in heaven, we will see the result of the fruit of our labors. We will be weeping and weeping with the joy of the souls that have come to Christ through all of the outreach and the blitzes, and it continues. And I'm so thankful to be a part of this ministry. Thank you so much for your faithfulness all these decades.
Wow. Amen.
Colleen,
beautiful,
awesome.
Colleen. Yeah, you've been a vital part of it as well.
That's right. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's right. And you know, the body of Christ is like that. The hidden parts, what the Bible calls the comely parts, you know, we esteem more honor, or we realize how vital they are. So never discount the fact, you know, well, I wish I could do that. I haven't done it. You know, no. Get off the do, and let's just abide in the done.
Amen.
And that's let's, beautiful. You know, God is faithful.
Yeah.
He is faithful.
That's our message.
We never quit.
Amen.
We never quit. That's the motto of our ministry.
Amen.
And you all, you know, there laying your lives down, you will all hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I can see it now. Thank you.
Thanks, Colleen. Yeah, God bless you. I want to say greetings to our brother Ron Williams, who drives a limousine in New York City.
Brother Ron.
And he remembers Throne Words. And Patty Enzer has written in his Throne Words was the message I was listening to when I got saved 21 years ago.
Oh.
And she says, and I haven't looked back since.
Wow.
Amen. I can imagine a message like that would do it. Paul Paradis, our brother up in Connecticut, says, loving this show. And Johan sends his greetings to us.
From Turkey.
Turkey, right?
That's right.
Praise God.
Wow.
Thank you, brother.
Amazing.
Great to hear from you. And thanks to all of you that have been listening to the program today, and we appreciate it. Dr. Wright, thank you for joining us on the Grace Hour.
Well, you know, let's close at John 6:29. This is the work. They asked Jesus, what shall we do the works of God? And, you know, I have that question in my head. We all did. What was his answer? It was to believe on him whom God has sent. That's Jesus Christ.
Stop it. That's too easy.
Yeah, but you know what? It's simple. It's just not easy. He's the central person and everything like that, but I got mama over here, I got the job over here, I got the stuff over here, and you know, okay, let's keep it simple. And that's what kept us. It was the presentation of the person of Christ again and again and again and again. And so here we are.
And he tells us, look, I've done all the heavy lifting.
Yeah, that's it.
You can be yoked up with me. It will be easy. Mm. It will be light. And you'll find rest unto your souls. Thanks so much for joining us, friends. We're out of time. Have a great weekend. And if you'd like to visit us Sunday morning, our services are 9 a.m., 11 a.m., 6:30 p.m. Have a great weekend. Until Monday, God bless you.
Thanks for listening to The Grace Hour. Our live program airs weekdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Grace Hour is a ministry of the Greater Grace Church. You are invited to visit Greater Grace at 6025 Moravia Park Drive, Baltimore, Maryland, 21206. For more information, go to gracehour.org or call 1-800-338-7060.